Gaye's Sexual Healing. Just listen to a few more bars of it. That's the theme of our show today, Sexual Healing. Yes, sexual healing. It is so powerful. I know this firsthand. But my guest today, Coach Betty, also known as Betty Louise, she knows it very well. And she has a wonderful, uplifting, inspiring story on sexual healing. And Betty Louise, I am so glad you're on the show today. I heard you speak the end of September, and I was so impressed. So now I'm glad I can share you with my listening audience at Progressive Radio Network. Hello, Betty.
Thank you so much, Diana. It was a pleasure to meet you last month. And I'm excited about sharing my story. As you heard last month, you know, I want this information to get out there that Marvin knew what he was singing about.
Yes, when did that song come out? It must have been at least 20 years ago.
It was 30 years ago.
30 years ago. He really did know what he was talking about. And I remember when I first heard it 30 years ago, now you're reminding me, I didn't really understand all of the ramifications of sexual healing. Now I do, and it's powerful, and your story is powerful. And I'm wondering if we could just start a little bit with your story, and then we'll get into sexual wellness as a path to freedom, and how pleasure medicine really works, and orgasmic energy and all of that. But take us back, Betty Louise, to what happened to you how many years ago now?
It was over 26 years ago.
Yes. So tell us your story, Betty Louise.
Okay, thank you. Well, in short, 26 years is a long time, so there's a lot that has gone on, but I was diagnosed with a chronic pain condition. The diagnosis is actually rheumatoid arthritis, which is characterized by hot and swollen joints all over your body. Now, prior to this, I was an extreme athlete. I climbed mountains, I took long bike rides, I have a dance degree. So needless to say, this was a real shock. And initially, when I was given this diagnosis, and it was painful to move. You know, I went from loving to move, moving, being who I was and what made me come alive, to not being able to move without being in a lot of pain.
What a shock for you.
Yeah.
And of course, it changed your whole life. At that time, your daughter was small, and you had a husband who, I know I'm interjecting a little bit here, but your husband at the time just couldn't handle your chronic pain, and he bailed.
Well, you know, in all fairness, he was actually amazing in the first couple of years. He was
okay.
He was just there 100%. But when I still hadn't found my way out of the cycle and I was still in pain after 3 years and 4 years and what's often referred to as the chronic long haul, that's when it became too much for him. Then it was just like, you're still dealing with this? And it's understandable to me because I was not in any healing cycle. I was in a vicious chronic pain cycle. And taking a lot of pharmaceutical medication, because I just wanted to go back to my life at that point and also be involved in my daughter's life.
Of course. And it occurs to me that you have done one of the most powerful things that anybody can do, and that is to forgive. Forgiveness is an inside job. It can be so toxic. Just from what you said, I'm imagining that you forgave your husband. You understand what went on for him and with him.
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I mean, I recognize that I was in a vicious cycle, and I wasn't. I didn't know how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the medications I was taking certainly were making me feel better in the
mm-hmm.
moment, but then flares would break through,
mm-hmm.
and I would need to add more medications. Or now, if I'd topped out on that dosage, now we got to add a new medication altogether. And it was the path that I was on. I walked down that path for 15 years.
15 years.
It didn't feel good ever to be on it. However, I always opened myself up to the healing that was available to the pharmaceuticals, and I thank the pharmaceuticals because they allowed me to pick my baby up, to be involved in her life. So I really don't have regrets about that. But as you know, what I learned is that when I took all the pharmaceutical medication to keep up with the schedule and to be in her life and to just keep going, I lost touch with my inner healing wisdom, and that included my sexuality.
Yes, and your sexual healing is very powerful. When I heard you speak, I was especially impressed when I guess you had an epiphany and you made love starting with pain at a 10, and by morning it was at a 4. Am I remembering this correctly?
Yes, you are. That is exactly what happened after I made a very, very radical decision to taper off of all of the medication against
mm-hmm.
doctors' recommendations. But my inner wisdom was pretty much screaming at me at that point in time. And so I was in a lot of pain. And
mm-hmm.
I was committed to not taking medication, and so I needed to open up my lens on what I could do for my pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally heard the song that you played at the top of the show there.
Yes.
You know, it's like, wow, this would be an amazing opportunity to explore this. And I felt really fortunate to have someone safe in my life I could do that with. And so, yeah, we made love all night long. Obviously it took some special handling. He was a wonderful, gentle, amazingly kind lover. And
mm-hmm.
I was able to really relax into multiple orgasms and release after release after release. And so the next morning I woke up and I was able to just stand up and walk down the hall with ease. And my pain went from a 10 to a 4 overnight. And not even any of the medications could do that for me.
So what a miracle. And, of course, then that sets you on a path of doing more research about this tremendous thing that we have with orgasmic energy and how healing it can be. And, so you and your friend must have done this again then to sort of maintain
well,
your...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I started really doing a lot of study. I learned, you know, as you know from my talk last month, you know, I'm from the Midwest. This was not something that I knew a lot about, sexual healing, orgasmic
mm-hmm.
healing.
Mm-hmm.
My parents didn't discuss this with me, and I know I'm not alone here.
That's right.
So I was starting from scratch and learning about tantric sexual energy and kundalini energy. I'm not an expert in either one of those things. But what I have learned to be an expert in is our orgasmic energy. What I learned was that our orgasmic energy lives inside of us when we can really relax and get to that place of release that I described. You know, there's a lot of women that have difficulty getting there. But when we get there and then we understand that it's our bodies that are creating this energy and that are releasing to this amazing energy, then we have the opportunity to channel that in different ways. And I used it for my pain. I had some pretty profound experiences even after this first one where I experience the pain and the pleasure right next to each other.
And I want to talk about that, the pain and the pleasure right next to each other. If I may interject a very brief story of my own, as I shared during the Q&A time and the discussion time after your lecture last month, I had, and I haven't shared this on the radio program before, but my right hip was replaced on September 11th. And so about 4 days after that, and it's just, I think medical technology is just truly amazing, because I had had osteoarthritis in that side of my hip, and it was painful. So my significant other, I've certainly talked about Brian on this show before, and I, and this is before I heard you, but my intuition said this, you know, this might be something that we could try. So I give Sensate Focus homework to lots of my clients, and that's basically erotic massaging where you take turns. And in the first two sessions, you're not even allowed to touch the genitals, and there's no penetration involved. Well, you know, I like to try stuff before I give it to my clients. So I thought, Brian, let you and I do this. And except that he was the healer. He was the sexual healer, and I got to just respond. And I was able to channel orgasmic energy into my right leg and for healing. And honestly, Betty Louise, it made such a difference. It accelerated my healing. I'm absolutely certain of it. So I'm really enthusiastic about this, and I think we need to be talking lots more about sexual healing, because it's very real. So that's my little story.
Yeah, and that is such a beautiful story of exactly what's possible when we open our minds to the possibility that you can do this, mm-hmm. and set intention around it. And you know, what I love about this is when you use sex as a means to heal, or medicine, if you will.
Right.
You know, there's no side effects other than pleasure.
I know. Isn't that great?
This is good news.
Yeah, and you know, there has been fairly recent research to show that the anatomic nervous system, the genitals connect to the lower spinal cord, which in turn connects to the brain. And so we've got all these neural pathways that are possible. Now, sometimes they get damaged, and a woman has some problems, but the neurological part of it is very real. And has your research taken you into that a little?
Well, you've got much more scientific data than mm-hmm. I do. I have my own personal experience with it, and as mm-hmm. I have coached others and their experiences, I am in the process of doing more documentation right now about my process of the five P's to peace, passion, and pleasure. But, you know, in terms of the nervous system, I mean, I certainly understand that that's what's going on in my body. My personal experience was so profound that the pain and the pleasure lived right next to each other. Because,
yeah, let's talk about that.
I had again, and it's been over 7 years now that I've been off of all of the pharmaceutical medication.
Over seven years. And in that time,
mm-hmm. it's been, you know, a roller coaster. I'm not saying this is a cure for pain. I want to be totally transparent with your listeners here. You know, I still have pain, and it is a way that I manage it. And so this mm-hmm. one particular morning, and morning is often when arthritis is the worst.
Yeah.
And I woke up, and I had a lot of swelling in a lot of joints. I don't always know exactly why it happened, but here I woke up and I was just in a lot of pain. It was difficult to move. So when I have what I call a flare, it's hard for me to even close my hand because my hands, my fingers are so swollen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I have to rock back and forth to stand up because my hips and my knees and my ankles are so swollen. So to give your listeners an idea of the kind of pain that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in all this pain, again, this was earlier this year, so I know now about what sex can do. So I had a relationship, and I asked my partner if he would work with me around this, help me with the sexual healing. And so he did, and what I experienced was, so my, just imagine my body being swollen from head to toe.
Mm-hmm,
I am in so much pain. I definitely can't even put my arms next to my side. My elbows are so swollen. My legs don't even go straight because my hips and my knees can be just really in a lot of pain. So I'm feeling all of this pain in my extremities, but he is bringing me to orgasm in my core.
In your core, yes.
So my core is in this incredible pleasure, this incredible ecstatic state, but all of my extremities are in pain with the slightest little bit of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in complete observation and noticing, and my awareness is really peaked around this. It's like, oh, my gosh, I'm like floating back from pleasure to pain to pleasure to pain. Then I realized, oh, I can't think about both at the same time.
So when I began
to focus only on the pleasure that was in my core, then the pleasure actually started to move out into my extremities. And I'm not saying that, you know, I stood up and walked out in this particular situation. I didn't go from a 10 to a 4, but it was amazing that I couldn't focus on both at the same time, that it significantly improved both the inflammation and the pain.
Well, you know, that's that also ties into mindfulness. And certainly we want to focus in on good sensations and pleasure, especially when you're in so much pain. And I think that you couldn't focus on both at the same time is significant. And so did your partner go with it and go for more pleasure and more healing and
yes.
You notice less pain?
Yes. I mean, I have to tell you, I've attracted some amazing people in my life, amazing men that have worked with me around this. Not everybody is up for the task,
as you know,
I found with my husband. And so I am very grateful for the men that I've had in my life. And, you know, since we're talking about relationships and men, and, you know, people are always wondering, like, well, what? Is she, like, going from man to man? And I just want to let people know that what I feel like is absolutely essential if you are going to have orgasmic sexual healing is you must feel safe. You must feel safe on every level. Your physical being has to feel safe, emotional, psychological, energetically. And you're the only one who knows when you're safe.
Yes.
But that's what's a critical step. And so I have been very fortunate, as I said, and grateful in my life to have many safe, and I don't want to say many, but, you know, I've probably had in the last 12 years since my husband and I have been separated, I have probably had 10 amazing men that I have had relationships with.
Very fortunate. But, of course, you attract that. You're
you know,
an amazing
woman. I know I have something to do with it,
and
but
you're
I'm
kind.
Still very, very grateful.
Yes. Now, you talk a lot about feeling beautiful, and I think that the tie-in here is partly this, you know, that it's important for your man to tell you that you're beautiful, that because a woman's much, I mean, some women will think, oh, well, you know, this is narcissism, this, but actually it helps a woman feel unself-conscious. You know, she just cannot be worrying about her cellulite or how long she's taking to climax or, oh, does she have an odor down there? You know, all of this is so much easier for a woman if she feels admired and cherished, which is where "you are so beautiful" comes in, I think. The man saying, "you are so beautiful. You are so beautiful to me." You want to expand on that idea a little bit?
Yes, I would love to, and thank you for bringing it up, because mm-hmm. I do see such a strong correlation between our beauty and our sexuality for mm-hmm. for women specifically. And so I see it in twofold. I see that women really need to rediscover this place of their own inner beauty, their own beautiful soul, because then when they feel beautiful, then they project beauty out in the world. You know, we as women, we have the ability to vibrate in a really amazing way out in the world. And when we're stressed, we vibrate stress.
Mm-hmm.
when we feel beautiful, we vibrate beauty. And so I really love helping women through various different simple little exercises to begin to find their own inner beauty.
And Betty Louise, this would be a good place for you to talk about those exercises you did when I heard you lecture last month. And I ran one of these exercises past a client I was seeing, and she said, oh, that would be very hard for me to do. But I'm jumping the gun a little bit. Talk about the, well, it is hard to do because you have some statistics. 80% of women do not have positive body image. 97% of women do not like something about their bodies. You know, I'd like to come back and talk a little more in depth about body image and even eating disorders, because 10 million women have eating disorders. It's all part of that self-hatred, not feeling beautiful. But the exercise with the mirror, talk about that. It's one of your P's, I think.
It's the first P of pause, yeah. And I guess, you know, what I just want to say about that is that when, for the women out there and for the men too, because it's really human work, but if you don't feel beautiful, mm-hmm. nobody wins when you don't feel beautiful. When you don't feel good about yourself, nobody wins.
Mm-hmm.
When you do, the reverse is also true. Everybody wins. Everybody wins when you feel your beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And every single woman is a beautiful sexual being. So the exercise, the very simple exercise I give to my clients is every single morning to pause in the mirror for 30 seconds, look into your eyes, take a soft focus with the rest of your body. Actually, even see that you're more than just the outline of your body.
Mm.
That there's more to you. You have a whole spirit around you.
Mm-hmm.
But just a soft focus
mm-hmm.
of your body. Zero in on your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, I love you. I really, really do. And I completely understand that it's a stretch for a lot of women to do this because
mm-hmm.
of the mm-hmm. statistics you already shared. And
mm-hmm.
and I was there myself, Diana. I mean,
yes.
When I had rheumatoid arthritis, I didn't look in the mirror for 16 years.
Oh, my.
Because all I could see was the deformities. I couldn't see my beauty.
Yeah.
I lost it completely. And what I have done in the mirror, you know, before I really became enlightened about my inner beauty, was I used to see my wrinkles. That was the first thing I noticed, or the blemishes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd zero in on them. I always felt like I had big hips and big thighs. I looked at some pictures back when I was 20. I'm now 57. Mm-hmm. When I was in my 20s, mm-hmm. I was like, darn, I looked good back then. But did I feel like I looked good back then?
No.
No. And I realized I could go through my whole life feeling that way, mm-hmm. always looking back at how mm-hmm. good I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sent me on even, I was even more passionate about finding my beauty right now in this moment, because that's what makes a difference. It doesn't make any difference to anybody when I can look back and say, yeah, you look pretty good in those short shorts.
Betty Louise, there's so much here, and we're going to go to a break and resume talking about body image and just appreciating our own beauty and silencing the inner critic, because, boy, is she ever powerful in lots of women. Right? The inner critic.
You got that right.
Yeah, so we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes and continue talking about body image and sexual healing. Sexual healing. This is your host, Dr. Diana Wiley, here with Betty Louise, Coach Betty. And just before the break, we were talking about body image. And, you know, a man who makes you feel irresistible is such a treasure, because of the self-critical messages we give ourselves. We need to feel that reflected desire. And I think we also need to accept our bodies and faces and feel worthy of being wanted. Now, for some women, this actually gets a little bit easier as they grow older, as they become more mature. So I think, Betty Louise, you have such important messages. What gets in the way of a woman's ability to see her beauty and her and sexuality, and how to clear it out? How to clear it out? Now, you already talked about looking in the mirror and saying, "I love you. I really love you." What are some other ways?
I tell you, what gets in the way mm-hmm. is our media messages. That's
one
of the biggest offenders in terms of how women feel about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at images of beauty, what is considered beauty in our world, that aren't even real, you know,
mm-hmm.
that are photoshopped.
Mm-hmm.
There are
mm-hmm.
digitalized bodies that they put real models' heads on top of. So literally, we are trying to achieve something that's not real. So it's,
mm-hmm.
it's a never win. There's a no win place that we strive for.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize how much that media influences us, because it's just around us everywhere we are. You know, in the grocery store mm-hmm. line, TV, mm-hmm. movies. And so that's why shows like this, there is a new media, there's media conversion going on with the internet. And so shows like yours, conversations like we're having right now,
yes.
that's one of the things that's going to begin to open us up to realize, you know, awareness is a huge first step whenever you're making changes. So to become aware that what you're looking at on a magazine cover is not real. Instead of looking at that same magazine cover and saying, you know, oh, my God, she's so beautiful, I'll never look like that. You know,
exactly.
There's no way I can be like that.
And something that I've noticed that's kind of connected to all of that is sometimes I'll ask clients what they're feeling in their bodies. And you know what? They have no idea. It's probably been a couple of light years since they felt anything in or about their bodies that wasn't just, you know, total judgment or loathing. And so I encourage them to ask themselves, if the feeling maybe has a shape, a temperature, a color, and then ask themselves how it affects you to feel this. You know, but getting in touch with your body. I know in recovering from the surgery, I have more and more been checking in with my body and seeing how it's feeling. And that's been a very good thing. I know you talk about being having body awareness, and
we have so much wisdom in our bodies, and
yes.
And that's the good thing about growing older, is that the wisdom in our bodies increases. You know, the
yes.
more experiences we have, the more learning. We take the time to learn. We have something in coaching we call deepen the learning before you forward the action. And so it's really about taking our experiences and deepening the learning of that experience, and then taking what you can from it to move forward positively in your life.
So deepen the learning before you...
Before forwarding the action. Yeah, so it's like you don't want to live in, okay, let me just keep learning. You don't want to deepen it, the learning so much that you don't act.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mm-hmm.
don't want to just be, you know, having experience after experience without taking some time to notice what you've just learned.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So with, when, say, use yourself as an example, if you will, please, that when you notice that you're waking up and you have this really, this pain that's somehow worse in the morning, and you lie there and you're aware of the pain and where it is, and then what's the next step for you typically?
Well, it can be, you know, different things. I have a whole toolbox.
Yeah, you talked about the toolbox.
Yeah.
Yeah, what kinds of tools are you going to bring out, maybe?
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes if I wake up with a lot of pain, you know, the first thing that my body calls out for is to get into some water. You know, if I have a bathtub or even a shower,
mm-hmm.
sometimes just to loosen myself up that way. I will also exercise first thing in the morning, even sometimes if it's difficult. And, you know, my first few steps in the morning, my ankles are a little bit stiff.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the
mm-hmm.
best thing for me to do is go outside, get some fresh air,
mm-hmm.
and take a walk. And that walk varies from day to day, from experience to experience, depending
mm-hmm.
on how my body's feeling. I'm happy to say I relocated here to Seattle not all that long ago.
Yes.
So I have been taking different walks around my neighborhood, and I noticed the other day that a walk that was difficult for me to take when I first moved here now is my short walk.
Oh, good, so, Daddy Louise.
Yeah.
Of course,
so, you
now
know,
with the rain coming up, you may have to get used to walking with an umbrella.
You know what? I luckily, because I grew up in a suburb of Chicago,
uh-huh.
and the weather changed all the time,
right.
I embrace all weather. I
yeah.
really love the rain.
Yeah.
I think it's very cleansing and refreshing, although I certainly have loved this weather that's felt like Northern California here
yeah.
for the last couple
yeah.
of months since I've been here, too.
That's where you were in Marin County for many, many years, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
However, you know, just back to the weather thing for a minute. It's like
uh-huh.
this is part of the way I live my life, embracing it all. That's why
yeah.
I call it living an organic and orgasmic life, really moving with the flow of nature. One thing we have absolutely no control over is the weather. At least I don't know anybody that has control over it.
Right.
And so why not embrace whatever shows up and make the most of it? And that's the orgasmic piece, really embracing it all, squeezing the juice out of every moment. You know, the sunshine, oh my gosh, it's just been spectacular here with how crisp it is. It's been such great walking weather getting out. When it starts to rain, you know, that's like time to be cozy and start the fires going and go take a walk, but come back and sit by the fire, you know.
Yes.
Just ways to really embrace the whole experience of weather.
Well, it certainly is better than sitting around and whining and complaining, because that's negative energy and that's not going to take you anywhere.
Right. And so just what you were talking about earlier, about your clients not necessarily knowing how they feel. I
mm-hmm.
have that experience all the time as well. We we don't live in our bodies very much, and and I know this from my own personal experience of rheumatoid arthritis. I wanted to override how my body was feeling all the time, to just press on with what I had on my schedule that day. And so, but our bodies have a lot of information for us. And so I will often, this is part of my pause step in my process, is to get people to pause and start to feel their bodies. But they don't even always have a language for their bodies.
Well, that's exactly, that's why I get them to talk about, does the feeling have a shape, a temperature, a color?
Exactly.
That can get them started. You say that some 10 million women have eating disorders, and of course food is a way to numb out and not feel anything. And I think when you eat, when you're not hungry, you're using food as a drug, and you may be grappling with boredom or illness or loss or grief or emptiness or loneliness or rejection. And so food is only the middleman, the means to an end. Very important to, when I have worked with clients with eating disorders, helping them get in touch with the feelings that they're eating over is pretty important.
Yeah.
Instead of numbing out.
That emotional eating, you know, and we all do it. We're all emotional beings, you know. And to this day, I can find myself, and I can usually recognize it, because I'll be really unconsciously eating, and sometimes I'll eat fast. This is what happens to me anyway. I'll be eating really fast, and I won't even be tasting my food, and I'll be like, what are you doing? You know, and I can feel that I'm just dealing with some emotions somewhere. And so it's and we all have our places to recognize. So when you recognize it, become aware of it, then... And another very important piece of awareness is to do it without judgment. You know, sometimes we become aware. It's like, oh, God, no, I hope. Oh, now here I am doing that again. Here I am, you know, eating this whole bag of potato chips again or whatever. And it's that beating up kind of awareness. We're really good at beating ourselves up. And that's why it's really important for us to know. And I just like to plant the seed for people. There's a way to do it where you can actually embrace pleasure all along the way. You don't have to beat yourself up and beat yourself into change. You know, it's not necessarily a no pain, no gain kind of thing. Now, you know, I've certainly had my fair share of pain, and I take it and I learn with it and I move forward. But what I know now is that I don't have to get to the point of really pushing my body so that I'm flat on my back, which is what happens when I have a bad flare, when I have not listened to the wisdom of my body, when I have not taken note of what one of my wonderful massage therapists called the whispers, Betty. Listen to the whispers
of
your body
whispers
before it has to scream at you.
That's very good advice. And I would add to that that when you like something, you pay attention to it. When you like something, love something even, you take time with it. You want to be present for every second of the rapture, possible rapture anyway. So that's about being very much in the moment and noticing. So, yes, and you say that sensuality is the first step to sexuality. Let's kind of move over to that area, because that requires paying attention to all of the senses.
Exactly. And what I love about bringing women particularly down this path of sensuality first is that it's less intimidating, because mm-hmm. a lot of women, as you know, Diana, are really struggling around their sexuality.
Yeah.
I mean, the figures there are also kind of astounding, and they make me very sad. Hearing between 40% and 80% of women have sexual concerns, sexual difficulties, mm-hmm. difficulty achieving orgasm. Those are all different things that I've heard. And so we have this expectation of what an orgasm or what satisfying sex looks like, but all of it starts with being in our bodies. That's why you and I both guide our clients back into being able to feel their bodies again. And one very simple way, so much of what I teach is so simple, people think, you know, it can't be that easy. And mm-hmm. I'm saying mm-hmm. it's simple, but it's not easy because of the world we live in. We're used to things being very complicated and hard, but it really doesn't have to be that way either.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
one way to begin to explore your sensuality, which is essentially your five main senses, your vision, your smell, your hearing, your taste, and your touch. So you carry your body around with you everywhere you go. I like to talk about the pause of a sensuality break, where you take 30 seconds and you just 100% focus on your sense. Maybe it's on tasting your food, the first 30 seconds of your meal before you start to have your dinner mm-hmm. table chat. You just focus on how that food tastes. Maybe when you walk outside on your way home from work, you just take 30 seconds to stop and just feel the weather, feel the air on
mm-hmm.
your skin. Is it windy? Is it wet? Is it sunny? Is it just noticing it? Getting back in touch with your sensuality, the smell, you know, aromatherapy. We
yeah.
have aromatherapy, for goodness sake. Just putting a little lavender in a bathtub. Wow,
mm-hmm.
you know, what
mm-hmm.
what a sensual experience that is. And so once we begin to get back in our bodies
mm-hmm.
and feel our sensuality, then we're able to allow our bodies to relax into sexuality and receiving and surrendering, which is also something that's very difficult for the independent woman of today to do, to receive and surrender to our sexuality.
And that, going back to a safe man, that requires a safe man that you really care about. I have so many women, have had so many women who can't reach orgasm. And so one of the important things is to stay very much in the moment. And if they have distracting thoughts, and inevitably they do, they will, to see them, just gliding away on a conveyor belt, out and away, and come back to the present, and how your partner's touch feels, and relaxing into it, and noticing all of the sensations. That's really essential for good sex and for reaching orgasm, is to surrender. And I know you help your people with this, and before we end the show, we'll ask you how people can get more information about you and access to your work. We'll give it now and we'll repeat it, so people, if they don't have a pen and pencil, give it now.
Great.
Please.
Well, I have a website, CoachBettyLive.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can find a couple of different events that I have coming up. If you're in the Seattle area, I'm doing something at the Dream Clinic Massage Center on the 14th of November. And then I've also got a couple of monthly sexuality teleseminars. So that's over the phone. You can get access to my work. And both of those you can find at CoachBettyLive.com under the events tab. And I do one-on-one work as well, and you'll get information on the site about that as well.
So that's the hub. And I imagine that you do coaching using Skype.
I do. All of my coaching work is Skype or the phone. And I call myself an eco-coach because what I love about that is that all you need is a quiet space and a half an hour to an hour of time. And you don't need to get in your car. You don't need to find parking. You don't need to, you know, go through any of that. And it's so I find it just really effective. And although sometimes people say, really, can you really do this over the phone? And I want to say, I'm a professional. And yes, it's very, very effective to do coaching without the visual sometimes.
Yes. And you also have a radio show called Living an Organic and Orgasmic Life, which airs on We Earth Global Radio Network.
That's exactly right. You can get access to all of those podcasts. I have over 150 podcasts on natural healing, and in the last 2 years particularly, that has been focused on sexuality and beauty. So there's some great interviews, great podcasts with all kinds of fascinating people. There's a woman right here in Seattle who has studied beauty like I've never seen anyone study beauty, and I've interviewed her a couple of different times. And in addition to that, you know, John Gray talking about women finding their own happiness, that that's actually, he correlates that to global warming. He sees from all of the people that he's coached that women hold that key to really helping our relationships dramatically.
Well, women are very powerful. Do you ever use the term goddess in your work?
You know, I have found my own goddess.
Good. And that's a start.
Yes, it is. Do I use that term? You know, it depends on who I'm coaching. Some people feel very comfortable with that term. Other people, it still feels too far out. One of the things I've learned around this sexuality is to meet people where they are.
Yeah.
Some people are just not ready to see themselves as a goddess. But, you know, for all of you listening, and one of the things that I know about this venue or this form of communication around the radio is that it really seems effective to be talking about these things on the radio because people feel safe and comfortable.
Yeah.
You can listen in the safety of your own home, in your own car, and really process that information just the way you need to without feeling judged by anybody around you. And so it's really a good thing.
Radio is such an intimate medium, and it's one reason I'm, let's see, for PRN it's been 2.5 years, and then when I lived in Hawaii it was on the airwaves 5 years. It's wonderful to get out good, solid information, and people can call in. We haven't invited people to do that, and we can't now because we're almost at the end of the show. I think that in addition to a man telling his partner that she's beautiful, if he learns a little bit more about tantric sex, he can call his woman a goddess. You know, goddesses are powerful. And goddesses feel entitled in a very good way. Entitled without anxiety or guilt or self-reproach. And they have high levels of attention and pleasure. So that's like they're on their way if they feel like they've got this goddess energy.
But, and, you know, what I'll just tack on to that, Diana, that was beautiful, is that when I feel my goddess energy, I really appreciate it. When I'm with a partner and in a sexual encounter, I really appreciate the God in my man. So it's as though we bring the energy out of each other, and that's one thing that I really want to underline and stress, is that that's how I feel like we're going to help our relationships, is when we honor and appreciate what each gender brings to the planet, what each relationship brings to the planet. And so just as you were encouraging men to really notice the beauty in your woman, I encourage women to notice the maleness that you appreciate about your man. And of course, if you're in a homosexual relationship, it works the same. It's like notice what you appreciate and love about that other energy over there.
It's so important to be present, to notice, to give compliments. So many relationships die from emotional undernourishment. They stop noticing. They stop giving compliments. There is so much here, and I'd really like to have you back. I'll talk to you off the air. I have some openings now in November, so you liking to come back perhaps for part two?
I would love it, Diana. I can see that we have a lot that together we can offer your listeners, and so I would be honored to come back.
Well, thank you, Betty Louise. So a reminder to our listening audience, and I'll put it on the description too for the archives, CoachBettyLive.com. CoachBettyLive.com. You can get a lot of information just from going there. And I do thank you so much for imparting your wisdom and your beauty and what you've learned about sexual healing. So we'll have you back and we'll do part two.
Thank you so much, Diana, for giving me this.
Oh, you're welcome, Betty
Louise.
Thank you so much for being a guest today. So Greg, our producer for today, will take us out with Marvin Gaye on Sexual Healing.